episodes every other week. Kaiseki covers currently airing anime, older series seen recently, and other relevant topics for the season. I'm your host Marina of the blog Anime B&B, and with me is my co-host Draggle of the cleverly titled Draggle's Anime Blog.
This week, we discuss Saga of Tanya the Evil Season 2, and Though I Am an Inept Villainess. So the theme this time is villainesses. More or less sympathetic villainesses. Is villainous even a word?
Yes. You're asking this now after the popularity of villainous anime that we've had for I don't even know how many years now.
You know, I've been asking this the whole time, but we might not have talked about it.
I'm pretty sure it's a word.
Well, it's certainly a word now. I don't think it used to be a word, though.
No way. It had to have been.
Why is it gendered? I always thought a woman could be a villain.
I mean, like, it could be. She could
be. This is sexism.
Well, you're on fire today. Why are you, like, ready to fight?
I don't know.
Is it appropriate because we're talking about Saga of Tanya the Evil Season 2 first?
I think so. Yeah, I was thinking about evil and being evil.
Well, the question I also want to ask, is this really even a villainess? Because, as we know, this is an isekai. At the heart of Tanya is a...
Oh, that's true.
...overworked
a
office
man.
Worker.
Tanya is a man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like she goes by a woman in this new world, so we should accept her identity, even if she doesn't respect other people.
This is true. Okay, well, let's go back in time, because we talked about this at the start of season, first impressions, about how this reincarnated Tanya, like, this was a show, the first season, from like almost 10 years ago, right? So it's been a while.
It's hard to believe it's getting a sequel. This means there's still hope for AKB0048.
Maybe. I don't know about that. I mean, there's always hope, right?
Yeah.
But hope is there to be crushed, so.
No.
As Tanya in this show proves over and over and over again. So, but if you remember in the original season, was that Tanya, she was born as a child into this world, right? And has lived the rest of her, like, grown up in this world as a girl. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
And she chose to fight for fascism.
She chose to fight for fascism because why? Because
she's a fascist.
I think that's too simplistic. We should know that there are more reasons to it than that.
Because she wants to be promoted and make money.
Yeah, I mean, at the heart is a extreme salaryman, right?
Which is the same as fascism.
Like a dog for whoever the higher power is, right?
Exactly.
But I think you also are forgetting what her goal is, her end goal.
I have forgotten. What is her end goal?
Her end goal is to live an easy life. This is why she's doing all of this shit. She wants to have a fast path as much as she can to get that life of ease that she was never allowed to have in her original life and isn't really allowed to have in the second life.
Exactly. And that's what all the fascists have said throughout history. You know why the Germans couldn't have an easy life?
Why?
Because of the Jews, according to Hitler.
And that's what the story is, right? It's a retelling. Although we've argued back and forth about this, whether or not this is a retelling of World War I or World War II, or it just seems to be a zombified, like, amalgamation of both of them, right?
Yeah, it is very confusing whether it's World War I or World War II.
Yeah, and I mean, all of the powers have been renamed, but we know what their inspirations are for the most part. As we mentioned before, Tanya is reborn into the Empire, which is Imperial Germany, right?
Yeah.
Everything that they show us is obviously that. And then we have other powers like, did they say Russi Federation, which is obviously Russia?
Yeah, but they're all communists in the Ruski, which makes you think it's World War II. And then the United States.
Right? We're thinking about World War II then.
Well, they also intervened in World War I too. But it does seem more similar to World War I in that regard. What was the US's new name? It was like very similar to United States, but I forget.
I think it's still United States.
No, I thought it was like slightly different, but maybe you're right.
I don't remember. Because you have like Ildoa, who is Italy. Mm-hmm. There was another name for like the Nordic countries, like Sweden and Norway or whatever, but that was more the first season. We haven't really seen them in the second season.
Well, I thought they've been like fighting, they conquered them and now they're leading the resistance. or something. Yeah. It's hard to follow the different countries.
Because it's sort of shifted, because now the people, the big players that we're seeing right now are the Russians, the Italians, and obviously Germany.
I thought that like observer went to Norway. Maybe I was confused.
I think it's pretty confusing because it does want you to sort of remember stuff from the first season, but then it's also like retired characters from there, like that daughter of the Nordic dude who we saw at the very end of the first season having joined up with the US, but then we haven't really seen much of her at all here other than like occasional snippets.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I don't remember her at all.
And that's fine. I mean, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you remember how this differs from the first season?
Not too clearly. I don't remember the first season that well. I do remember a lot of the characters, but I couldn't tell you like the details of the battles or anything like that.
I mean, are the individual battles themselves the point of the show, honestly?
No, of course not.
So I don't think it's imperative for you to remember like every one of those details and their historical significance and like their real life counterparts, right?
No.
I guess I was more asking if you can recall, like, how does the second season differ narrative wise, style wise, like all of that compared to the first season? Or does it feel like it's carrying on in the same spirit?
It feels like the same spirit, but it's been 10 years since I remember the spirit too closely. So do you remember?
I personally feel like we've obviously gone through our character development that we had in the first season, because I don't feel as close to the characters here in the second season, because like they're like, oh, you know them already. You already have like this, well, arguable with you. But like for me, like I feel like there's this affection, I guess, for her company members. I obviously really like the, what's her name? Victoria, like Tanya's assistant, right? Her second, the girl, the one who like ran around with the camera and none of the shots came through because the cap lens was on. Right. Like, she's fun. She's always been fun. And then I think it's Hans. Is it Hans? The other guy. See, I don't even remember their names, but he's like another guy who's underneath her who is one of the like flying mages. And I actually am a little bit behind on this, so I've only seen through the fourth episode, but he like gets hit while he's in the sky and falls. And I was upset because I like him. So I do feel like we've spent less time close face-to-face time with them because we've been jumping back and forth more between them and like the politics back at the Empire headquarters.
Yeah.
Like, we've been with the two old dudes a lot.
Were some of these characters new? Because then, remember, like, at the start of the season, she's, like, leading the company, and now she has underlings. Did she, like, get promoted or something? I think she did. Is that right?
I think she did, because of all of her efforts that she did in the first season.
So were all her, like, she had those, like, incompetent subordinates, and she yelled at them? Are those new people, or are they old people?
Some of them I remember, like the okay. ones that I mentioned.
Yeah, I don't remember them at all.
Wait, you don't remember the girl?
No, I remember the girl. I don't remember these like company commanders. There's like an artillery commander and an infantry commander, and you were talking about the mage commander, and they're all like her underlings now.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think I like vaguely recall them being around, but they weren't the ones that jumped out to me from the first season, which might be why I don't really remember them very well.
Yeah, I don't think they even were in the first season, but I like all of them. I like how at the start, they're like, so she gets so pissed at them. And then in a later episode, they like start to do things and you think like, oh, they're going to, and she's like starts to get pissed at them. Like they're going to fuck up. But then they do what she told them to last time when she yelled at them. So yeah, I enjoyed that small character arc.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a far less of it this season than there was before. Because we've been more with the old dudes, like I mentioned, Hans and Kurt.
They're entertaining to you.
I like that they go off and they like vent and drink together.
Yeah, even though they hate each other.
Do they hate each other? I think they had like this strange friendship.
They're like rivals, right, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, Hans pisses them off and gets sent to the front line with Tanya.
Yeah.
It honestly feels like now, I don't know if they're going to have anything after the second season, because, like I said, I'm behind. Are you caught up on this show?
Yeah, I'm caught up.
So I'm only at like 4 episodes out. So they're probably at like, what, 6 episodes or something now. So we're halfway through. But it feels like we're marching towards the end now, because it seemed like we were getting close to possibly an end to this war, right? That they were going to start to have peace treaties and maybe they were going to split off. But then because of like this extreme misunderstanding of just how the people of the Empire felt about this war and how they really needed to have like a win, right, at all costs, that now that's, they're just going to be in it until they have this terrible loss. And I feel like that's going to be the ending of the second season and we're just going to be done.
Good. I hope they all die.
Wow.
I'm not sorry.
I hope they lose. I don't hope they all die, because they need to, like, you know, reparations.
That's true. They could, yeah, they better make up for all their war crimes. Especially Tanya. God was too nice to her.
I know. I feel like we've had this argument before, where I don't completely hate Tanya. I can, like, sympathize with her, but even though I, like, highly disagree with most of what she does. And she is entertaining as a character.
She is entertaining, yeah. That's why it will be entertaining when she suffers more, as she deserves to.
But, like, I also direct my anger towards whatever higher being, whatever god there is in the show, because I do lay the blame at his feet for all of this shit. You shouldn't have reincarnated her in the first place. What the fuck are you doing when you have all these, like, people going to war and all these terrible things happening? You're not doing anything to help. Both sides are praying to you and you're doing jack shit.
That's true. He should have sent her straight to hell.
I feel like this show brings out, like, the hatred of both of us in different ways.
Yes. Our next villainess is much more inept than Tanya, and also much less villainous.
Though I am an inept villainess?
Yes.
I've seen this show compared a lot to Apothecary Diaries because of the setting. But honestly, they're, like, nothing alike.
It is in, like, the Imperial Court. But, yeah, nothing alike, I agree.
No, but I feel like the people who like that for the style and the setting, and even, I would say, the character, will have fun with this one. Because, yeah, the main character, Rayrain, is nothing at all like the main character of Apothecary Diaries. But there is, like, this energy, this robustness, I think, to her character that maybe carries over.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because Mama is like, she loves, I don't know how you, apothecary things, right? She like loves like the medicines and the tinctures and like the herbs and all that shit.
Poison is her true passion. Yeah.
That's right. Poison. And here, Raymond's love is life, like maybe the opposite of poison. She just wants to be alive, right? She just wants to have a healthy body and to be able to work herself hard and to be able to like tire herself out mentally, physically, all the things.
Yeah.
And then bounce back, right?
Yeah.
So I can understand like why people would say like, oh, if you love that, you'll probably love this. And there is like a little bit of like that political intrigue as well. Again, differently. But we see that between the different consorts.
Yeah, lots of betrayal. But yeah, I really like Rayrain and you know, there's so many like revenge type stories lately, and this seems like it's set up to be a revenge story. This girl was like such an ass to her, stole her body, made everyone hate her. But then she just reacts like, wow, I'm so grateful for you doing this because now I have a healthy body.
Right.
Are you sure you're okay? Here's some advice for taking medicine and stuff. And she's just so nice to this girl who's like been treated her like shit. And that's what makes her, this other girl, suffer the most. And I'm totally there for that.
I know you love suffering, but I also always feel like you never sympathize with the villains, like the actual villains of the show, because it's not like her villainy came from nowhere. Like, we have gotten a little bit of insight into Keigetsu. That's the villainess here. Mm-hmm. Keigetsu Shu, who at the start is like, we do see that she is a horrible personality. She wishes ill upon everyone else. But then we later find out that there's a reason why she's like this.
I mean, I certainly sympathize with her a lot more than with Tanya. But yeah, she has like so many chances to like change her ways, and she's still not taking any of them. But I'm hopeful that Rayrin is so stubborn that she'll win out eventually.
Well, yeah. So, like, my hope is at the end of this, because this is also only supposed to be 11 episodes, right? Which feels too short, honestly. I feel like this could easily go into a second season. Yeah.
Really? That's really short.
Because we've hardly made any headway, right? Halfway through the season now?
I mean, I feel like stuff happened for sure.
Yeah, some stuff has happened, but I feel like the level of court intrigue that we've seen, and we've only like really focused so far, sort of, on one other consort. And then there are like two or three other consorts that, like, are we going to have time with them as well? Or are they just sort of, you know, in the background?
I mean, it does seem like a setup that could go on forever if they want to let it.
Obviously, I think the ending here is that Raven's going to end up back in her original body, right? That they're both going to end up in their original bodies.
Hmm.
But I also feel like this one has more of a hopeful end than Tanya, that I agree with you. I think Keigetsu will probably like sort of have her moment of
redemption.
Redemption? Yeah, yeah.
I think so, but I have no idea if it'll happen in time for the end of this season. Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, it really doesn't feel like we have enough time for a believable redemption arc to happen.
Yeah, especially since like every episode she pulls some new dick move.
Does she? The previous arcs have focused more on like the other consorts doing stuff. Or at least we think it was another consort, but like you noted, right? That the person that they thought was the one who had like tried to blackmail Riri into killing Rayrin. Are into killing Keigetsu. See, I'm getting them confused. Is not the same consort that they confront later on with the hairpin.
I was thinking, like, Rayrin keeps having the candle spirit, whatever, conversations with Keigetsu.
Oh, okay.
Where she's always like, oh, why don't you try this medicine? We should meet up so I can tell you how to take good care of your body. And Keigetsu is like, I'm going to destroy you. Fuck you. I hate you.
Yeah, she's nowhere near redemption yet, right? Like, yeah. She's just like sort of just yelling things at her, but it's not like she's actually doing anything because she's not even able to survive in this body, right?
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't even there at the dance, right? Like, exactly. She's supposed to be there, but yeah. She wasn't even there. Like, what can she do?
Yeah, nothing. So I love that for her. But yeah, I did also like this latest arc you were talking about with the hairpin and how they have like all this build up and they get mad at this. She's madder at this person than at Keigetsu, which I think is so funny.
Well, because Keigetsu gave her exactly what she wanted, right? A healthy body. Hooray.
Yeah, exactly. And this other person like bullied her assistant. So I like how she gets more mad when they do something to somebody else than to her. But yeah, they have all this buildup, and then it turned out the person they were fighting against this whole time had like nothing to do with the reason they were fighting her.
Yeah, like maybe it's a lady from her house. We have no idea. But like they listen to the lady's talk, right? And none of them match.
Yeah.
Riri's memories. So I'm also confused. Like, who was that person who tried to blackmail her?
Maybe it's Keigetsu's underling, or maybe I bet there's some like underlying conspiracy where Keigetsu was also fooled by the dark mage, evil dark mage or something.
Oh, yeah, because like her fire magic, her like it's a forbidden magic supposedly, right? That comes from like her family line.
Right.
Possibly. Because like who else would know about this swap?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find out.
Because, like, who's going to benefit most if this swap is permanent?
No idea. And maybe the person who taught Keigetsu dark magic or something.
Yeah, while I'm enjoying all of our time that we've spent with Rayrin in Keigetsu's body, I am actually wanting to spend a little bit more time with the reverse. Like, we've seen some short scenes with Keigetsu in Rayrin's body and like suffering and not knowing how to handle it. And we've seen her, I guess, like short scenes with the prince where she's like needier than he recalls the girl being, right? So he's like a little surprised.
Right.
I either want to see, well, I guess both. I would like to see more of her like also dealing with the other court ladies who love her but they really love Rayrin, you know? And then I also want to see the prince have more of a face-to-face with this new version of Keigetsu, right? Because that's the girl he actually likes. But I don't think she cares about him at all, right? She doesn't seem to, like, be excited about his attention or his kindness or, like, the gift that he's supposed to offer her for her dance.
Yeah. She can do better, honestly.
Well, like, that's why I was like, this isn't really a love story, is it?
No, not at all.
Because I think, like, at the beginning, before we knew more about this show, there was maybe an idea that this could possibly be a love story.
I kind of thought it could be a love story with the guard captain.
Yeah, because he's the one who, like, has more interactions with the main character, right?
He's the one who, like, actually pays attention to them more than
Yeah, and he's all like, there's something different about you. And he's actually, like, kind of amused watching her now.
Yeah. No, he clearly likes her now.
But, like, I don't think love is the, like, that kind of romantic love is the goal here.
Goal is power. Marry the prince. You'll be.
Like, if anything, this could be, like, an enemies to lovers things between the two girls, right? Like, they could form, like, a.
I would be totally down for that.
Flirting with each other through the flames, you know? That could be interesting.
Oh, gosh. This would be self-obsessed.
Yeah, that's so weird, right? Just like it's your own face.
I need this to happen now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah.
Maybe a whole new ending.
Yeah.
But then where does Riri fit into that?
What do you mean?
I feel like she also kind of has like this adoration for her mistress.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's more of a like looking up to your senior kind of thing.
Well, I'm just glad that she now has that girl at her side. Like, she has one ally at least.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that girl.
If she can come around to Keigetsu and sort of move past the animosity and the jealousy, whatever you want to call it, of the other people in the court, I feel like there's definitely hope for the actual Keigetsu character.
Yeah, I think so too. If she just, like, no one really cares about her mother or whatever she blames it on.
Mm.
She just keeps being an asshole.
She just needs to be shown love,
Drago. Exactly. Yeah.
And not the prince's love.
No. Love from her own body. With a different person inside.
Oh, God. Tune in again to Kaiseki Anime Podcast 2 weeks from now. Please feel free to send us questions or comments on Blue Sky with hashtag Kaiseki Anime Podcast or on our individual accounts at Draggle and at MarinaBNB.
Listen to any of us on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts so you can continue to grow and improve. Thanks for listening. See you next time.